Do you like giving? Do you experience joy when you give? If so, you probably would like to pass the experience on to future generations. I'm Rob West. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive because it's the truth. I'll talk about that and more today with Brad Formsma. We're off, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest today is my friend Brad Formsma. He's author of I Like Giving and the founder of the ministry by the same name. Brad, great to have you back with us.
So good to be with you, sir.
Brad, you started I Like Giving to inspire people not just to give, but to live generously. And I'd love for you to start by just talking about why you think that's so critical in today's Me Too culture.
Well, if you think about it, we're the recipients. So we're on the receiving end of God's incredible generosity, and it starts with our lives. So we're created in His image,
yeah.
And He's the most generous being, and I think that's already where the attack comes in. So let's just park on this. We're created in God's image, and then if that's not enough, He sends Jesus, and He gives us a gift if we choose to accept it of salvation. And then it's, if that's not enough, Jesus says, hey, I'm going to leave, so I'll send you, give you the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And I see those three, ways of us receiving ultimate generosity from God. And how can I not recognize if it's true, and it is, that I'm made in His image, then I was designed to be about others and to be a generous person.
Mm. Yes, well, that's exactly right. You can't read the scripture and not see generosity just leap off the page, right? It's a generosity story from beginning to end. And I know your heart is that our listeners would be able to pass that joy of giving along. So I want to talk today about your advice to specifically parents and grandparents who are trying to connect with the next generation about generosity. Where would you start? What would you tell them?
Well, I understand that I care about you. I wake up thinking about you because I interact with you all over the United States as I'm traveling around. And the top fears I hear are we're worried about their faith in God, their being our kids and our grandkids. And right behind that is, we're concerned it's all about them, and we've put some things in place to have them get an inheritance or to have a trust fund. We know there's a major wealth transfer that many will be connected to, and there's concern. Does this next generation get it? Do they understand that most people, we read it this way, it all belongs to God? And they're concerned, do our next generations hold that same belief? And so at ilikegiving.com, we've got several avenues of content that we've created specifically to help families talk about their own story and to talk about what it means to live generously.
Well, I know you all have done a phenomenal job, and you've used the power of story to do that. We've got just about a minute before our first break. How have you used story to communicate this critical topic?
Well, isn't it great? We have the best model of storytelling in Jesus. I mean, this is what He did, right? He used stories to help reveal something to us. And so what we've done at ilikegiving.com is to say, look, how can we create age-appropriate content? So whether it's kindergarten through 8 or whether it's homeschool families, stories that are connected to God's Word, and how then after we share the story, how can we look for God's Word? And so we believe that stories move people from awareness to action, and that's where amazing miracles happen.
Well, Brad, I couldn't agree more, which is why I'd love for you folks to go to ilikegiving.com and use these stories as you communicate the heart of generosity to the next generation. When we come back with Brad Formsma, author of I Like Giving, we're going to dive into a few of the 7 ways of living generously, specifically attention, words, and thoughts. Check out ilikegiving.com or generousfamily.com. Brad Formsma back with us just around the corner. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Your eyes can tell the difference between more than 10 million colors, the equivalent of a 576 megapixel camera. But having eyes doesn't mean you can see. Like in John 9, Jesus giving sight to the blind man, and the Pharisees simply refusing to believe that Jesus had actually performed that miracle. Listen to the way that Jesus responded to them. For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. Spiritual sight is something only God can give, and we need it to behold, to believe, ultimately to walk with Jesus. Invest in your walk with God today with Anchor Devotional. Get it in print at getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
When love has no evidence, it believes the best. When the evidence is adverse, it hopes for the best. And when hopes are repeatedly disappointed, it just courageously waits and endures. That's real love.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, The Power of Love, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, my good friend Brad Formsma. He's author of I Like Giving. You can learn more at ilikegiving.com. When you get there, be ready. Those stories are powerful, and they can be a great tool for you. Brad, I know in your book, I Like Giving, you teach the 7 ways of living generously. These are thoughts, words, money, time, influence, attention, and belongings. Now, that's obviously way beyond just writing a check. So why don't we talk about a few of those, beginning with the generosity of attention, especially as we think about transferring this to the next generation?
Oh, happy to do it. You know, Galatians talks about, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those that are our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I think that shows us, Rob, doing good isn't just a check only. It includes that, but it goes beyond that. I had the privilege of a grandpa who owned a bakery, And I was the oldest of five, looking for ways to escape the house. And I would tag along with him on Saturdays, and he'd make these special 16 loaves of bread. And then away we would go around our city. And he'd give two loaves to a widow that he knew from church. And then he would take this time to say, I heard you had a bad week. You're going to have a good week. And just used words to be generous and encouraging. And then another stop, a few more loaves of bread and maybe a white envelope. And he explained there was a financial need. And maybe one other time I would see a letter of recommendation. And he would say, I'm just helping other people get to where they need to go with my influence. And so, you know, we talk a lot about generosity for generations, Rob, and I just care deeply that families would lean into what's possible here. Don't be afraid or think, then believe the lie that your kids and grandkids don't care about engaging around the generous life subject. They do. And as we said in the earlier segment, you know, we're modeling things. And so would you like me to talk about generosity of thoughts and what we've learned at I Like Giving?
I would, because this is such a key area. I like all of these, and certainly generosity of thoughts is a really important one. So what would you share with our listeners?
Well, I love the line daily, weekly, monthly, right? So we can think about these seven ways every day. And generosity of thoughts, here we are, there's a passage in Philippians that talks about, think about things that are pure, right, true, lovely, excellent. And I think even in my own story, Rob, I've at times struggled with having a preconceived notion or an opinion of somebody, and I'm not seeing them in the best light. Maybe that's what happens for you as you're driving down the road. You're listening, you're thinking about your kids or grandkids, and maybe they're living a way that you're not giving them the benefit of the doubt, or you have a thought that's not good about them. And that affects our relationship. And so I think it's important that we are also generous with our thoughts about ourselves. I mean, after all, I like to say we're created in God's image and we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. But sometimes my negative self-talk can make me think I feel sorry for my neighbor, Rob.
Right. So this goes both ways, this generosity of thought, doesn't it?
It's beautiful. The Lord gave us our mind. And then, of course, generosity of words. I'm reminded of a grandfather who said, you know, he took my challenge. I said, why don't you lean in, go have a breakfast with no real agenda other than to listen and to be present and look for a specific way to affirm your grandson. And he came back blown away because he said, I learned some things. I learned he was struggling with suicide. I learned he was struggling with self-esteem. And it was just me taking the time and the attention and then being generous with his words towards him. He said it just brought some life. It brought some connection. And, you know, he said something very interesting. You know, I really wanted to go meet with him and several of my grandkids to kind of tell them how I want them to live and tell them how I want them to give with some of the money that I've given to them. And it just isn't going to work that way, is it, Brad? And I said, generally speaking, no. People remember how you make them feel, and that's really where it starts. And so wherever you're at with your kids and grandkids, pray, 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 and then engage. Yeah. And I believe that God's going to do something special, and don't have it be once and done. And remember, you're modeling something, and you can do that in a good way.
Yeah, you sure can. And now more than ever, right, with generosity of words, because so much of the conversation, especially among students, teens on social media, is toxic and it's negative. What an opportunity to model the ability to be generous and kind with your words, huh?
Absolutely. In fact, what we've done is we've taken research, Rob, and now we're in the homeschool world big time with a program called Generous Students. And we're also in K through 8 Christian schools across the U.S. And that's also the program called Generous Students. And it's all designed to engage the kids with their families and in their own heart around the seven ways of living generously. connecting with Scripture, applying Scripture to life. And so if you're connected to a Christian school and you're wondering what's being taught inside, you can do something about that. Go to ilikegiving.com.
That's
and
great.
Just connect that school. It's powerful.
In our time left, Brad, I want to touch on one more. I think this relates to kids of all ages, but certainly the younger ones, and that's the generosity of belongings. How can a grandparent or parent communicate how they can hold loosely the belongings they have?
Well, Rob, I think it starts with understanding who owns it, right? So if we understand that God owns it all, I use the word model a lot. Forgive me, I've used it three times with you. Our kids watch so much of what we do, and how we give and share and show we care is one of those catchy lines that we're using with younger kids.
Mm.
It doesn't matter if it's a pink pencil, and we can link to I Like Teachers, one of our famous short films, where just a pink pencil sharing in a classroom changed the culture there. And so I think, you know, whether you're sharing something simple or something more significant, it's just this posture that if God owns it, what a question for us to ask. What am I holding on to that I wouldn't be willing to share?
Yes.
Maybe you won't end up sharing it, but you know, just asking it can be kind of scary, right, Rob?
Exactly right. And then just in the last 30 seconds that we have here, the generosity of time is obviously something that a grandparent or a parent can give.
Absolutely. And I just want you to know, I care about you. I think about you as a parent, a grandparent. You care about leaving an inheritance, and that could be a spiritual inheritance. And I believe that our ministry and why people get behind what we're doing is we're creating content to help the next generations steward what God has given these amazing families across America.
Oh, it's powerful, Brad. Well, we've just scratched the surface, so we're going to have you back. But really appreciate you stopping by and encouraging us in this key area, generosity.
Great to be with you, Rob, as always.
Folks, if you want to learn more, check out ilikegiving.com or generousfamily.com. That's ilikegiving.com or generousfamily.com. Brad Formsma, author of I Like Giving, has been our guest today. Much more to come just around the corner, including your questions. Stay with us.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Dr. Matt Ayers, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Did you know that there's a way to attend seminary where you don't have to write papers and you don't have to get graded? When you audit a course, you get to participate in the course and learn without earning the degree. You can sign up to audit any course at Wesley Biblical Seminary for only $250. Whether it's discipleship or the Old Testament or theology, you can audit a course this coming semester. Go to wbs.edu to sign up to audit. That's wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
The loss of a child through an abortion affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming, but there is hope and healing in the aftermath. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who's been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Phone lines aren't open today since this is a recorded program, but we have some great questions we think you will find helpful. We're going to begin today in Syracuse, New York. Hi, Ann. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking this call.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. So my question is, how can we help one of our children to pay off his student loans? Yeah. So I know something about the SAVE program. I don't know much about that, but it's pretty high up there, okay. Six-figure.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
What was your intention going into it? Was the plan that your child was going to pay for it, him or herself, or did you all expect to, you know, chip in along the way? How was this set up?
Well, there really was no plan.
Okay.
Actually, there was no plan. Weren't financially able. They've always worked hard. They don't ask for money. They have jobs, but kind of got up there. So this is my desire to try to help them. Three are okay, and we still got a big one here.
Okay. So this is one child that has loans in her name that are six figures. Is that right? Or are we talking about multiple children?
One in that child's name.
Okay. And it's over 100,000.
It's six figure. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And what kind of job does she have? I mean, does she have good earning potential moving forward?
Yes.
Okay. And have the payments started at this point?
Well, they will start again. I believe it's interest started, I think, September, so they'll start in October.
In October,
and
the payments.
And I guess interest right now. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. You're right. Go ahead.
And I believe the interest is 7-8%. You know, we've talked about wondering if it will ever come back to forgiveness, and talked about this person paying a monthly payment and then us matching that, but you still got all this interest that you're actually paying the interest.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right, and unfortunately it is on the higher side now. Well, you know, I think the key here is, I mean, she has earning potential, you know, that will, because these are federal loans, if she ever, you know, has the inability to pay, there is the potential for income-based repayment if she wasn't able to afford it. Obviously, if you have a desire to help and you can financially do that, meaning, you know, it's not going to take money away from your ability to save for the future, so you have what you need for retirement down the road. I mean, she obviously has a long runway in terms of being able to repay this. I understand it's a significant sum, but at the same time, you know, retirement for you all is much closer. And so I would just take a hard look at your ability to help in a significant way and whether that's going to impact you financially over the long haul. But after you've run through that exercise, whether you do that yourself or do some planning with an advisor, then clearly if you want to bless her by being able to partner with her, I think that's great. I like doing that in a way that reinforces the right behavior. So the idea is not to completely take this off, because you all went into this together knowing that, okay, she was, you know, you were borrowing this amount for her to be able to get an education, hopefully that led to a job that gave her the ability to repay it. Obviously, you've got a significant sum of money here. Ideally, we'd be able to pay this back. I usually use a 10-year target. You know, we tell folks, try not to borrow anything and work and get scholarships and grants and, you know, save and perhaps look at ways to cut costs, like, you know, living at home for a couple of years, things like that. But once you, if you do decide to borrow, try to only borrow an amount that you can pay back in 10 years. So I love the idea of her having some part in this as you all work together over time to get it paid off. Again, if you can afford to do that. And I think a matching plan makes a lot of sense. So I would just have real clear communication so she understands, you know, what you're able to do and not do and how you want to partner with her once these payments resume to try to, you know, get this moving in the right direction and get it paid off in a reasonable period of time. And I think, you know, if that means you split the monthly payment, or she sends the monthly payment if she can do that, and then you add to it, which would lead to, you know, principal reduction and accelerate that payoff, that would be ideal. And then if there is some forgiveness down the road and you all have a conviction that, you know, allows you to take that, then so be it. But in the meantime, at least we're working toward bringing this balance down and you're doing it together so long as you can afford it. Does that make sense?
It does, very much so.
Yeah.
So okay. I think that's will be our goal. Well, thank you so much.
You are welcome. And listen,
we're going to do that.
Okay, good. And I would say just be really clear in your communication with her so that we don't get a couple of years down the road and there's, you know, unmet expectations, just so I think everybody's on the same page about whose role this is and what your intention is going forward to, you know, according to your ability financially. We appreciate your call today, Ann. Thanks for being on the program very much. Hey, we're going to take more phone calls. So after the break, we'll be back to tackle your financial questions. Mary Lou and Keith and Tara, we're coming your way. A quick email before we head to our break. This comes to us from Cliff. He wrote to us at askrob@faithfi.com. He writes, would a money market account be a good place to put my emergency fund? And I would say, Cliff, it could be. You might find a better interest rate with a money market account. While most banks allow withdrawals without penalty, many have minimum deposit requirements. Obviously, to get the best rate, you may have to make a larger deposit when you open the account and maintain the balance. Just keep in mind, if you use a money market mutual fund, that does not carry the FDIC insurance. A money market account should. And so you just want to check that. If you want to compare rates to what you're being offered through the money market, through maybe a high yield savings as an alternative, I would just head over to bankrate.com. You can find out who has the very best rates. There's a 5-star rating system, and it will tell you whether or not there's FDIC insurance. Thanks for writing to us today, Cliff. Again, askrob@faithfi.com. Let me mention, folks, if you haven't checked out the FaithFi app, we'd love for you to do that. Think about this. Inside the app, there is a community of stewards that are sharing best practices, asking questions, encouraging each other on their stewardship journeys, and there's no cost to participate in that. Go to faithfi.com and click app. You can download it today. We'll be right back with your questions. Stay with us.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
At FaithFi, we are on a mission
to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word. We're working to meet people right where they are through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from this program, would you consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron? Check out all of the benefits of a FaithFi patron's membership at faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance as we provide a hopeful, encouraging, biblical message of financial decision making. You know, it's all about looking through the lens of Scripture, holding what God has entrusted to us loosely so we can give generously. I would submit that's the primary purpose for which God has entrusted resources to us, clearly to provide for ourselves and our families. But I think so often we get stuck in an endless list of needs and wants, never getting beyond that to the opportunity to serve those on our path and be generous, supporting the work of the Lord. Think about that today as you consider your role as a steward in managing God's money. All right, back to the phones we go to Florida. Hi, Marianne. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Thank you, Rob, for taking my call. I do appreciate your ministry.
Well, thank you.
I am retired and also have a will in place, and my children, my daughter, was talking to her financial planner and telling me that possibly I should put a ladybird deed in my will, and I wanted to know what you thought about that. My home is worth quite a bit. I live on an acre. It's worth probably over $500,000, and it is, of course, paid for. And I'd like your comments on that, if you could.
Okay, yeah, very good. It's very similar to what we also call a transfer on death deed, also what's known as a life estate. Those are somewhat interchangeable. There's some differences with each of them. But essentially, a ladybird deed allows what's called a life tenant to live in a property during their life. So that would probably be you in this case. And then upon the death of the life tenant, a second party, who's known as the remainderman or the beneficiary, and there could be more than one, inherits the property. So when the property is inherited through a ladybird deed, the beneficiaries receive what's called a stepped up tax basis, which that's a benefit from a tax standpoint because, you know, your cost basis on that property is what you paid for it. And that, if you were to sell it, would determine how much capital gain you would pay. Now, because it's your primary residence, you may not have to pay any capital gain. There are certain exclusions. But if somebody else were to be gifted this property, they would have your cost basis and then they would pay taxes on it. But with the inheritance of the property through a ladybird deed or, you know, what's called a life estate, they would get the property, but they would get the stepped up basis. So the basis for the property to determine taxes would be stepped up to the market value as of the date of death. The real objective here, why folks use these, is that they're trying to pass the property outside of probate. So it passes efficiently and and effectively, so that, you know, there's not any delay on it or added costs, that kind of thing. So, you know, it can be a very effective tool. And I think, you know, if you've decided who you want to receive the home, this type of Lady Bird deed or a life estate or what's often called a transfer on death deed, which is not available in every state, could be a great tool to make sure that this property is passed efficiently, but retaining all of the tax benefits of inheriting a property. So I think your next step would be to visit with an estate attorney who could advise you on exactly which of these is best and then put it in place. You'd file that with the county records office, the new deed, and then you know, that would be in place, and it'd be a great part of your overall estate plan.
My only question to you is, after that, if I would put this in place, if I would decide to sell it and move, could I still do that?
Yes, absolutely. And that's one of the benefits of the Lady Bird deed, is that it does allow you as the life tenant to both revoke it at some point, take it back, and it allows you to get a mortgage on the property if you ever wanted to do that without the consent of the remainderman. So yes, you'd be able to revoke that Lady Bird deed, and then you could sell the property at that point.
Well, guess what? That sounds wonderful and marvelous, and thank you so much.
Right.
And I think your ministry is fantastic. I listen every day.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that. That's a real privilege and an honor to hear you say that, Marianne. It's our desire to be an encouragement, to be hopeful, but to point you back to the scriptures as you think about this high calling you have of managing God's money. So thank you for that encouragement. It means a lot.
Rob, thank you so much.
All right.
And God bless
All right.
you, babe.
Boy, that was delightful. She's sweet. To Michigan. Dennis, go right ahead.
Yes, Rob. I have bought 3 rare coins from the U.S. government mint. I'm wondering what you think of that as an investment.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's plenty of folks that really like these. I mean, investing in collectibles that can increase over value can provide significant gains in some cases. There's, of course, no guarantees. A lot depends on the price you pay when you purchase the coins and then the price you accept when you sell them. You know, you have to know what you're doing, and you need to have some people that, you know, that you're buying from that will give you a fair price based on the numismatic value of these coins. Now, it's quite different than just buying the precious metals, because when you're buying the precious metal, it just comes down to what is the spot price, which is readily available, and then what am I paying as a premium over that to make the purchase. With the rare coins, it's completely different, because, you know, it's not just the underlying value of the metal. It's the coin itself and how rare it is and what value is placed on it by a numismatist that could, you know, give you an appraised value for it. So it's not an area that I have expertise in, so therefore I would never go into that, but it's certainly something that you can learn a lot about. You could start small if it's something you enjoy and you find a trusted dealer who can, you know, help you buy and sell these, and where you understand the appraised value and what you're getting into. You know, I don't have any problem with it. I think it's just one of those things where, you know, it takes some time and expertise in order to do it right, so that you truly can buy something that, you know, can appreciate over time. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I think at the end of the day, I would probably, you know, keep this a relatively small portion of your overall investment strategy, unless this is an area you really want to dedicate a lot of time and energy to. Dennis, thanks for calling today. We appreciate you being on the program. To Twin Lakes. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have about $30,000currently in I-bonds. I don't have access to all of that until March of 2024. And with the percentage of I-bonds going down, I'm wondering if it would be a good idea to take those out. I'd be under the 5 years to take those out and put those into CDs or any other avenue that you would suggest. My time horizon with that is we're looking to purchase a house, but not until about the summer of 2025.
Got it. Yeah, I like I like that a lot, because think about it this way. I mean, if you, on the portion where you're paying, and maybe it's all of it, the 3-month penalty, you know, if you think about your rate for the year, you know, you're getting the blended rate of 4.3 and 6.8 probably, so somewhere around 5.5, and then you're going to get back 3 months at the 4.3. I think it's still worth you getting that money out and then redeploying it in a CD. It's been a great investment while you held it, but now it's time to move to something that's going to give you a little bit more yield, because come November, that rate's coming down even further as that composite rate reflects the work the Fed has done to bring down inflation. So yeah, I like the idea of you pulling that money out when you can, redeploying it. I think a CD, given the time horizon you're describing, makes sense. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
Find peace in God's Word. In Nahum 1:3, the Lord has His way in the whirlwind. Frequently in life, we find ourselves in a whirlwind, don't we? Really, the wording means His way prevails even over above the storms of the whirlwind. God is in control. He has His way even above the noise of the storm.
Don't miss Exploring the Word with Dr. Alex McFarland weekdays at 3 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up with the podcast at AFR.net.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Let's head to Fort Lauderdale. Tara, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
My question is regarding the student loan repayment option plan.
Yes.
There are two options, so I am not too sure about which one would be the best. There's one which is income-driven repayment plan. And there's another one that is a term-based. But for the income-driven repayment plan, the loan cannot be forgiven at all. And for the term-based, you have like a fixed payment, and that loan can be forgiven. So I was wondering if you could give me some advice and see what would be the best.
Yeah, which loan forgiveness program were you trying to qualify for?
Actually, I'm done with school. Now it's a repayment. I have to repay my student loan.
Okay. Right. And so how much do you owe on the student loans?
It's a lot. Close to $100,000.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, with the income-driven repayment option, it ties the amount you pay to a portion of your income, and then it extends the length of time you're in repayment to 20 or 25 years. And then when the term is over, you can get income-driven loan forgiveness for your remaining debt. The standard repayment lasts 10 years and is the best one to stick with to pay less in interest over time. But the key is, you know, whether or not you can afford to do that. You know, does that standard repayment fit into your budget?
No, it's really too high. That's the reason I was considering the term-based which is like a little bit more affordable. But because you cannot, the loan cannot be forgiven at all, and I also teach, so I was a little bit concerned about that.
Yeah. Do you qualify for the teacher's loan forgiveness program?
Not yet. So I need more time.
But you will at some point?
Yes, I hope. I'm hoping maybe in 5 years.
Okay. Well, I think that's the key. I mean, you have to teach full time for 5 consecutive academic years in a low income school. So, you know, that's not for all teachers. Would you qualify for that forgiveness?
No, I don't think it's a low income school. So that really removed my concern.
It probably, I mean, you'd need to check with the Department of Education, but you just need to make sure that you would qualify for, one of the loan forgiveness programs out there. And if you don't, then that kind of takes that off the table. So if not, then I would just look probably at the income-based option, which would ensure that it fits into your budget. Now, the extent to which you can get that payment back up to what it would normally be is a good thing, because that'll just help you pay it off quicker, which means less interest paid. But if you're looking for loan forgiveness, you need to read all the fine print and make sure that you actually qualify for it before you were to allow that to, you know, help you make this decision. Otherwise, I think I would pay as much as you can, but if that standard payment doesn't fit into your budget, that's the benefit of the federal loan program, is you have the ability to reduce that payment down to something that fits into your income.
Yeah, but my concern was about, I think I can afford the amount for the term base. I can do that for now, and I believe it's more affordable to me. So do you think it's a good idea to go with that?
I do, yeah, because if you, if it fits into your budget and you can, you know, cover those expenses moving forward, then absolutely. But the extent to which you can accelerate that, I would look to do that as you're able down the road.
Okay, and with the option that can never be forgiven. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
All right, Tara, thank you for your call today. We appreciate it. To Florida, hi, Caleb, go ahead.
Hi there. I appreciate you taking my call. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call. We appreciate it.
So my wife and I, we just recently had a baby. It's our first one, and we have about $5,000 worth of medical bills. And I just started listening to your station last week, and I know how much you talked about your emergency fund. I don't know if it would be best to save up and pay off the medical bills, or divide it up and pay it in segments and do the hospital bill and build an emergency fund.
Yeah. So you have $5,000 saved, is that right? Or that's the total for the bill?
That's the total for the bill, yeah.
Okay. What do you all have in savings right now?
Oh, we probably got a couple grand.
Okay, about $2,000. And how much margin do you have extra per month without paying anything toward the hospital bill? How much do you typically have left over?
Oh, we probably have $1,000 a week extra, so about $4,000. I just got a better paying job.
Okay, so that's great.
Yeah,
I love that. Well, if you have $4,000 a month in surplus and you guys can limit your lifestyle, you know, the tendency here, Caleb, is that as your income increases, your lifestyle increases with it. And you just have to guard against that, especially with you trying to pay this bill off and fund the emergency fund. So I'd probably ask them if you could get on a repayment plan. And if you were to call them today and say, listen, I'm going to pay you, a couple of $1,000s a month over the next 3 months until this is paid off, they'd be thrilled. And, you know, they probably wouldn't charge you a dime in interest. Because if you're a cash payer for that $5,000 and you'd pay that amount per month, they would be ecstatic. And that would allow you then to direct maybe a couple of thousand a month toward building up that emergency fund and a couple of thousand toward this bill. Now, if they said they were going to charge you interest or they didn't go for it, well, then I think, you know, you're only 30 days away, you know, perhaps from paying this whole thing paying off. And because you have so much in the way of discretionary income, as long as you just really focus on getting that emergency fund built up as your next step, then you'll be well on your way to having both, you know, this debt paid off as well as, you know, that 3 to 6 months worth of expenses. You should have that in no time, just given how modestly you're living. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So what did he say to tell the hospital?
I would just call them and say, listen, I'd like to get on a payment plan with you, and I can send you $2,000 a month over the next 90 days until this is paid off. And I'm pretty sure they're going to tell you, great, let's do it, if you're willing to do that. And just confirm that they're not going to charge you any interest. But they hospitals are really, and doctors' offices are willing to work with you, just because so often, you know, they don't get paid, and there's very little recourse because they have, you know, limited impact even on impacting your credit if you don't pay it. So the fact that you're willing to pay it off in that short of a time period, they'll be thrilled to work with you.
Well, that sounds great. I really appreciate it.
All right, Caleb. Hey, we appreciate your call. Congrats on that little one. Is it a little boy or a little girl?
It's a little boy. He's about 8 months now.
Oh, well, what's his name?
Carter.
Awesome. That's great. Well, congrats. Nothing better than being a dad. So appreciate you calling the program and listening to the program. We're thrilled, Caleb, and may God bless you and your wife and little Caleb. Thanks for calling today. Let's finish up in Georgia today. Butch, you'll be our final caller. Go ahead.
Hey, sir. Thank you so much for your ministry. Been involved since the early 80s with Larry Perquette at the Hidden Lake facility in Dahlonega. That was that's where we set our path. And awesome, kind of like being on a diet, you know, sometimes we're on it better than other times. But I'm 65 years old, and I'm still working. And just wondering if it would be a good idea to start drawing my Social Security while I'm working, or should I wait till at 66 and 8 months, that's when I top out, or my, you know, where my top out is. So what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I like you. If you're continuing to work, Butch, I like you just letting that Social Security grow toward your full benefit at your full retirement age. Because if you take it early, not only are you going to lock in a reduction in that benefit equal to about 1/12 of 8%. Per month, you take it early, but also you're going to be, you know, if you earn over $21,240, you know, you're going to have some of that withheld. Now, it'll be paid back to you once you reach full retirement age. But I just think letting this benefit grow as you're continuing to work and don't need the money makes a lot of sense to me. In fact, if you plan to work beyond your full retirement age of essentially 67, you can continue to let it grow up until age 70. And, you know, if the math says that if you do that, that as long as you live 12 more years beyond that time, you will have been repaid for what you didn't take at full retirement age. And then you'll have a higher check for the rest of your life. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that, but I would certainly wait until at least full retirement age before you start collecting.
Okay. And do I understand correct that at 66 and 8 months, when my full retirement is, if I continue to work and wanted to draw, I could make over the 21.5 or whatever per year?
That's right. You can earn an unlimited amount of money, and it has no effect on your benefits once you reach full retirement age.
Okay, but you're kind of thinking, hey, go ahead and wait to 70.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, especially if you don't need the money and if you're in good health, if the Lord tarries, you know, you'll have a higher check for the rest of your life. And, you know, that may go a long way toward just making sure you have what you need to cover your bills in retirement. And it's a guaranteed 8% a year increase, which you're not going to find anywhere else. So, again, you know, if the Lord has other plans for you and you need that money, then go for it. But if you don't, I like the idea of leaving it right there and letting it grow. Butch, thanks for your call today. Hey, I hope today's broadcast has been an encouragement to you. Thanks to my amazing team, Adam, Devin, and Robert. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Come back and join us tomorrow as we round out the week. We'll look for you on another edition of Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. God bless you. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.